absolutely nothing less. And so we are in for a real treat today. Today's show is going to be very, very exciting. We have an amazing guest on the show, and I'm not going to introduce him just yet because I want to whet your appetite. But first, what I want to do is I just want to review a bit of what we talked about last week. Last week was a very, very fascinating show because we had two call-ins. And of course, we're going to continue to receive your phone calls at 822-2487. Anything inspires you in this conversation, 822-2487, please give us a call. Now, the thing to remember is this, that the context of today's show is we're having a conversation with a gentleman that found his dream job. There's two types of people in this world. There's a person that is looking for their dream job and the person who has actually landed their dream job. So we have a dream job lander. And why we have him on the show, it's very simple, to inspire those who are seeking. That's right. So this show is specifically designed for anyone who is not working and looking to find work they enjoy, currently working and wants to find work they want to enjoy, and it doesn't matter what age you're at, whether you're 21 or 75, because it applies directly to you. I've seen it countless times. Okay, so last week, what did we talk about? We talked about a few things about how to increase your receiver bowl, and a very interesting concept was you make as much money as you think you're worth. And how do you know how much you're worth? By asking yourself, how much are you worth annually? And if $54,000 come up, then you're going to earn $54,000. And so if you want to earn more money, then enlarge your receiver bowl. Start to practice receiving more compliments from people. And therefore, possibly consider expanding your bowl for how much money you're willing to accept. Now, I'm not saying that money is a source of happiness in no way. Would we agree, however, that money can be a wonderful tool in life to simplify it? And that's the premise of earning money, because it's a great tool. Buy some nice cars, have a nice house, why not? Treat your friends to wonderful trips and all that kind of jazz. Of course, we're going to do that. Okay, wonderful. Another thing I do at the beginning of every show is I cover what I call the top two. And usually the top two is always the top two questions that I receive on a weekly basis. Now, this time, I was inspired not to have the top two be two questions, but solutions to questions. Because over the last 2 weeks, I've had two questions that were asked of me, and I then got the answer to them. I transmitted the answer over to them, and we got it. And so now I'm going to share with you for the very first time over the air the answer to these questions. The first question is this: I'm new to the industry. Should I negotiate my contract? Well, I have some wonderful news for you. I just work with an individual, and she's just starting her role with, I can't say the company though, because it still hasn't gone through just yet. But we're so excited. She was not going to negotiate anything. And we had a conversation around how to approach the subject. She brought it up. Amazingly, they are right now considering a 15% raise right at the beginning. That's why I say your first raise is always your largest raise, because you always incrementally move from there. So whether you're starting in life and whether you've been working for 20 years, always be in a position to negotiate your salary. Now, I was also having a good conversation with someone that said, listen, it's not about asking for what you want and not justifying it. Negotiating your salary is a very sensitive subject, so you got to learn properly how to do it. This particular woman learned how to do it and was effective in doing it. Okay, great. The second solution that came to me was this one, and it's so exciting. Do absolutely nothing. I was working with an individual that was under so much stress. Their head felt like they were spinning on top of their head, that they didn't know which side on the street to cross. And I've noticed that stress can damage your search for your dream job so dramatically. And so sometimes in life, it's so important to do absolutely nothing. So if you're feeling overwhelmed right now, what I can consider or ask you to do is consider taking some time off. There is massive value in doing nothing. By removing yourself from the stressful situation, you reduce your anxiety level, then putting yourself in a better position to make effective decisions that are not in line with others, but in line with who? With yourself. And so that's very exciting. So the moment of truth has arrived. We're very, very excited. And so we have our guests on the line here. I just want to make sure everything's good. So say hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good to have you. So I've billed you.
Everything's good?
Yeah, you're good. Okay. You're good to go. I've billed you as a dream job lander. Is that right? Okay, good. You're a dream job lander.
Yes.
Now, before we share, I want to kind of tease it here. Before we share what the dream job is, let me first ask you, did you always have a clear career path in your life?
Well, in some senses, yes. Some senses, no. Yes, in the sense of, actually, not clearly, I should say no, because you never know exactly where you want to go. But then sometimes at some point in your time being, you know, me, I'm in my late 20s, you know, the past 6 years, yes, it's been definite. So given the age time of me looking for a job, yes, it's been definite in the sense of me knowing what I want to do for the past 6-7 years and going for it. But depending on the audience who I'm speaking to, you can't say it always will be. So things can change at any point in time. So once you know it's something you want long term, or once you know so it's time for a change, then you know what you want to do and you got to go for it in that sense.
Wait a minute. It took you 6 years.
Yes. And well, no, not 6 years in terms of schooling. I mean, in terms of been in school for so long, right?
You know, there are people out there that say, I want it now. I can't wait any longer.
Yeah.
And here you did what it took for 6 years. So please, you got the person sitting out there saying, listen, I've had it. I've run out of patience. What do I do next? And here you're speaking from this experience where, how did you remain steadfast during that 6 year period? How'd you do it? What kept you motivated?
Focus. If you just basically looking towards the goal, I mean, it's the 6 years, this is an educational process we're talking about. So, I mean, if anybody's in a situation, you know what you got to do to get to where you want to get. So, educational prerequisites are a must, so that you can't, you know, you can't put aside you. But once you obviously halfway through it or even at the end of it, it's just a matter of, okay, now how close you are. You're getting that much closer and just being focused on what you need to do in every which way. Like, you can't half-ass any kind of aspect of it.
Hold on. Okay, so you got the listener out there saying, I get it. You always knew what you wanted. Is that right?
I can say yes for the last, like I said, 6 years, but maybe prior to, maybe not. But yes, in same direction, but to pinpoint to a certain position or a certain career or a certain industry, yes and no, because, you know, like, I'm just starting out my career in the sense of in the business world. So it's not like, yes, I knew what I want to do, but yes, I knew what I want to do for the next 5 years of my life to take me to the next step, which we'll see what that is.
Okay,
right?
So let me ask you. So it sounds like over the last 6 years, you've had some clarity. But before that,
yes,
was everything like just so clear?
No, nothing necessarily always is, right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, did you have a simple, tell me a bit about your, what was it like growing up maybe in your late, high school, around those times? What was it like for you? Was it very clear? Did you go directly? How was it for you?
No, I was kind of, didn't go through the whole orthodox process of going through schooling at the structured times and finishing on time. I kind of took time off here and there and did kind of what I wanted to do at the moment. So therefore, it wasn't necessarily clear in terms of what I wanted to do. I kind of, you know, did what I felt like doing at the time, which might have been going to school or not going to school. In terms of where I wanted to go in the long term, yes, I always knew I would finish school and go on this path, which I'm on right now. But in terms of timing, during this period you're asking me about, it wasn't necessarily clear of where I was going in the next, you know,
so
period.
So you went through a period in your life where you were, like you said, that sounded like you actually left school before finishing it at one point.
Yes, of course.
Wait a minute. We've brought you on the show here to promote the beauty of landing work you love. And you're so bold as to say you went through a period in your life where you were unclear, you were a quitter, and you dropped out.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Technically, that's what happened, yeah. Well, I didn't give up.
Wait a minute.
But
you got the let's get there in a sec, but just a sec. We've got the listener out there saying, wait a minute, my life is supposed to be a very clear, defined path.
Structured path, yeah.
And if it's not structured, then something's wrong with me. And if there's something wrong with me, why even try? So give up and don't even start. What is your word to those people?
Okay, you're talking about the person who thinks that they got to be on a specific path, and if it's not going that way,
exactly,
with ease or whatever they expect it, however it should be unfolding, what do you do? Well, I mean, come on. You can't. Nothing's going to be, you know, given to you, first of all, no matter what you're looking for, whether it be a job, you know, a family relationship, nothing's just going to come to you. You got to work for everything. So therefore, with regards to looking for your career, you know, your job per se, you have to go out there and do your diligence, meaning diligence in terms of doing your research on whatever you think you are interested in, whatever you know that you can narrow down that you are interested in, and do everything and anything you can in any which way to get to know it and prepare yourself to fulfill the skill set of that, you know, job set that you want to be a part of, right? So
you're pretty hard nosed. I can hear that, and I like that because what you're basically saying is, Okay, there are some people out there that love research, and there's some people that don't love research. And so what you're talking about is gaining some knowledge about an industry or knowledge about an area so that you can come better informed as to whether to decide if that's a good fit for you.
Yeah, number one. That's obviously – first of all, number one is that you can't decide and say this is for me or whatnot. You got to do your diligence, your research to try and try different things out. You can't even do your research and decide and say, oh, this sounds interesting. This is me. You don't know until you try anything. But the main point I'm trying to make is I should have worded it correctly before is if you want to do something, you can do it. And it's a matter of if you want to – being it might be the right decision in terms of – If it is the right career for you or not, you don't know until you try, number one. But the main thing is if you think that it is for you or you know it is for you, and if you want it, you can get it by doing your diligence.
Okay, hold on. Every single dream job seeker gets the same bloody advice. Try hard. You can do it. You can do everything you set your mind to. Let's treat our listeners with a bit of respect. And I'm picking on you, but I'm not picking on you. I'm picking on everyone else who gives the same advice to everyone. And that's why our listener listens to this show, is because they know they're going to get the straight information, simple, practical tips. Tell me, we're about to go on break in a second. Before we go on a break, I want to leave the listener with a thought, because we're going to go on a break for a minute. And by the way, during the break, it's going to be an opportunity for you to call in the show. We may or may not have time to take your call, but I encourage you to give it a shot. The number is 604-822-2487. That's area code 604-822-2487. Only call during the break if, in fact, we do have time. Okay, great. So this is it. The listener is about to go on their break, and we're telling them to figure it out. On the break, what I discovered, life is not about answers. It's about questions. And so what question would you have? I'm putting you on a spot here. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we can work with. What question would you have for the dream job seeker to contemplate over the break? What is the ultimate question when it comes to wanting to discover what it is you love to do or finding the work you love?
Okay, this could be a little bit generic, but I think the number one thing that we all have to realize before is what skills do I have? What am I, in which way, what do you see yourself trait-wise, you know, skills-wise, whether you can relate to any job, because like there's a lot of, whether it be from personality to technical skills to, you know, public speaking skills, communication, whatever. What do you see yourself have being strong at, and in which way do you see yourself enjoying that and putting yourself in that environment which needs those kind of skills? Number one, because everything in any which way, you're going to have to sell yourself. So therefore, you got to know yourself before you can sell yourself. Number one.
I love it. You know what you said? You set it up as being generic, but actually it's not. Because once you identify your skills and you're not stressed out about the job, here's the thing, how to dramatically reduce career anxiety. Don't stress out about the job. Worry about the skills you have. Communicate those to others and let the employers figure out where you fit. Love the advice. Great. So over the break, contemplate that question. What are your top three skills? That's the question. What are your top three skills? When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with our dream job lander, and we will find out exactly what dream job you found. More after the break. And by the way, enjoy. We'll see you in just a moment.
Stewie. Hey.
Hey there. So it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good, OJ. Yeah, that hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah. This public service announcement is a thank you to all you listeners who donated during CITR's first fund drive. You've helped us continue to keep delivering you, the listener, with the diverse, independent, and quality programming you've come to expect. This is also a reminder that if you did pledge, please come down to CITR, pay your pledge, and collect your swag. For example, t-shirts, CDs, and all other merchandise that was offered with your pledge. Once again, to all of our listeners, all our supporters, thank you for supporting CITR 101.9 FM.
You got till 5 o'clock, you hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.
I gotta go.
All right, you're listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver or on the internet at www.citr.ca with your family, with your pets, with your friends, listening to a show specifically tailored and sculptured and designed to help you land your dream job and nothing less. And so before the break, we were talking with a wonderful dream job lander, an individual who actually landed his dream job. And before the break, we had asked you a question to think about your top three skills. But before we touch on to that, I want to address one issue. When he says his dream job, or the industry in which he's worked. I would like you to realize what word is going to cross your mind or what your thoughts are going to be. And I propose some of you out there are going to say, wow, God, I would love to do that. That would be a dream job for me. And others out there will say, I wouldn't do that if you paid me $1 million a year. And what I've discovered is that one person's dream job is not another's, which is so exciting to hear for you, because you may think that because it's a dream job for you, everyone else wants it. And if everyone else wants it, there's a long lineup of competition and you'll never get it. But what I often see and what I often see not considered is that many, many other people don't want it. They wouldn't want to do that if they would never want to do that kind of work. So what I've discovered is this: it's easier to find your dream job than it is to find work you don't like. It really is. Just recently, I was working with an individual. She thought she had to do retail to get into the retail industry. She had all this project management experience. I said, skip retail. You can get into project management instantly, right away. She had experience in it. She said, really? I don't have to go through that approach? I said, well, what's your dream job? She said, my dream job would be to be a merchandise coordinator. And I looked at her experience. She's got 3 years of coordination experience. I said, why don't you get a merchandise coordinator? She said, I can do that? I said, yeah, why not? She identified her skills, and she went right for it. Go for your dream job as long as you have the skills. It's a wonderful combination. I'm so excited. Okay, great. So before the break, what I loved that our guest had said was, ask yourself what your skills are. And I specialized the statement by saying, what are your top three skills? So I'd like you to write down your top three skills. And this is called the Magic Three. I may get to why it's magical by the end of the show, but that's going to be something that I'm going to want to address soon enough. Okay. So those were your top three. Now, are we ready to reveal the kind of work you're doing, or was there anything you wanted to add?
Well, the question was, what are your skills? I mean, it could be what are your skills currently, which is definitely what you should consider, but also what skills do you need? Because skills can always be developed. So don't think obviously what skills do you have and that limits your opportunity. It's like about, okay, what do you currently have? What do you need? And which ways can you develop them too? So just want to iterate that.
Okay, so it's not only identifying the skills that you have, it's the skills that you need.
Or
okay.
You think you need, or the industry or the career that you feel you need, require or prefer. So in any which way, whatever you have and you can apply, or whatever you think that you don't or need to develop on or, you know, refine, that is something you got to think about as well.
Okay, I want to dovetail that. Very great statement. I love it. Because whenever you do a self-assessment, the question, what do I want to do for the rest of my life? Or what do I want to do when I grow up? Or who am I? Those questions, there's often they do assessments and they're based on a lot of research. And typically they cover three areas: interests, values, and I blanked out on the third one. Oh, it'll come to me. But all that matters was the interest one. Oh, that's it. Interest, values, and skills. What I found very interesting is that if you're interested in a subject, then you will most likely develop those skills. Interestingly enough, you might be interested in something, but not like it. I remember asking someone, what is something you're good at and don't like it? And they said, piano. I said, would you want to be a piano player for the rest of life? They said, no. Forget it. I don't want to be piano player. So I said, so what is it really? Is it if you're interested in it, or is it that you're good at it? And he said, it's if you're interested in it. And so I think what was brought up here is it a skill? Look at the skills you have and the skills you need. And if the skills you need don't match your interests, then you're what we call incongruent. Your insides don't equal your outsides. And I love what was just brought up, because your skills from the past may or may not be what you want to do in the future. Because often people come to me and they say, well, I'm good at this, but I don't want to do it. So then the next step is to what? One, look at your interests and see if they match the skills needed for the job. I kind of like that. That was pretty good. Okay.
That makes definite sense.
Yeah, makes sense?
Yep.
Okay, good. Are we... So here it is, the big drum roll, all this jazz, right? Okay. So you have found work that you love. Is that correct?
Yes. It's landed in the field where I want to excel in and develop it.
Good. I like how you're teasing us here. So you've always wanted this type of work.
Yes. For the past 6 years, I mentioned that I knew this was the kind of direction I wanted to head in.
Why?
Because I find it interesting, for one. So therefore, I want to develop the skills in it, and I have developed things that I can apply to it. Number two, it's just something that I want to learn and develop in the future, which I think it can be applied in many different ways. So therefore, I've chosen this route.
I like that you say that because, you know, the number one thing that people often choose a career for is for growth opportunity. Usually when they're younger, people have this interest, but growth opportunity in many areas, facets of life. So it sounds like that's important for you because that was important, right?
Well, currently, yeah, given where I am in my career development stage and whatnot, right?
Okay. So let me ask you, because there's a book out there that talks about how in life, there's very few defining moments at which time you make clear decisions around your life. And this is a show about careers. So there's a time in your life where a specific moment happens and you decide, I'm going there or I'm not going there. Let me ask you, 6 years ago, did something happen to you that led you on this path?
I think it just basically came down to deciding what I wanted to get my degree in, and then further deciding what I wanted to major in, which would dictate what career I would end up falling in. So therefore, okay, I'll tell you what I did from education-wise. I've done a Bachelor of Commerce in UC, accounting, finance, double major, moving forward to excel in the accounting field. So therefore, I have chosen the accounting field because within business and within my designations, I found this to be the most versatile kind of specialization that I could apply in many different ways.
Right.
And also which was in line with my skills, which I was, you know, obviously that I felt that I possessed. So therefore, this is where I'm headed in that sense, right? So I made that decision knowing what skills I had and knowing where I wanted to go and knowing what doors I wanted to keep open.
Okay, so what I really love about what you just said is that you, when you first looked at what you needed to do, you broke things down into smaller steps. And you didn't ask yourself, what career do I want? You asked yourself, what education do I need to start with?
Exactly.
Keeping in mind where you want to go. Is that right?
Exactly.
You know, there's an expression out there. It's called divide and conquer. Now, countries used this years and years ago to divide and conquer other nations. And I'm not, how do you say, promoting this. All I'm saying is that we can borrow this theory, divide and conquer, when you break things down into smaller steps. And by the way, when it comes to career management, I've discovered that the only career anxiety most people have is the next step. If the individual knows what the next step is, then their career anxiety dramatically decreases. What if I told you that your entire life would be, you'd be aware of what the next step was? You'd say, great, wonderful. And so the goal, part of the goal of the show is to help you with that next step. And so with our guest here, the next step was going into education. So let me ask you before we reveal here, what your advice to someone's out there and they're not sure what they love to do, or they are sure what they love to do, but like, what do you think is a good next step for them to consider from your perspective?
Well, at what point of, where are they? At what point of their stage? Like in terms of where are they? Give me a scenario.
Okay. So let's say they're in a job for 5 years.
Okay.
And they are bored. They are tired. You know, they know they need to make a change, but they just don't know where to start. From your, in your experience, having been doing something for a long period of time and then changed, what made you, how did you make that change? Because, you know, change is tough for some people. How did you summon up the courage to make that change?
That's, I would say it's just a matter of looking forward and looking forward, but instead of looking back and saying, what have I done? Why am I bored right now, for one? Why am I thinking about this? So therefore, there's reasons, right? And so therefore, just making a decision, like, do I want to continue with this or not? And which more than likely should be no, or would be no, if you were bored and weren't happy with where you were. It's a matter of, okay, where do I want to go? So it's not like we iterated before about knowing your skills and nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to be given to you. It's all about your diligence. But first of all, knowing that you want to change or you need a change, or that you, is number one, knowing that you want to make a change. Number two is, okay, are you prepared to do the diligence to make it happen? So that can happen overnight with your passion, or it can happen over a year with your passion. Depends on what it's going to take, but you got to be able to persevere through whatever that comes to you in order to make that change. So therefore, know what you want to make a change of and get out there and do your diligence, which obviously people can help you with. I can talk about it, you know, a lot about diligence, but that's not what we're talking about, right?
Well, that's one thing that you strengthen. I think that's, we could talk about diligence because the break's coming up. But before we go to break, one thing you inspired me with a thought was, what's beautiful to consider is that when you're in a job that you currently do not like, the most important thing you must do is to give it the best shot in the current job. Everyone says the grass is greener on the other side, but then they go by the house that's the neighbor whose grass is greener on the other side, and then it dies in a month, and you say, why did it die? And then you realize a powerful lesson, and you learn that the other person took better care of the lawn. And then you learn one of the most powerful lessons of all time is that the grass is not greener on the other side, is that the other individual takes better care. So if you're currently in work that you don't like and you're not putting your heart into it, take better care of your lawn. And if then you don't want it anymore, then you're in a position to move. And then we address what was just brought up, was the issue was, then do you have the motivation to find that work you want? And if you don't have the motivation to make the change, maybe you don't want it bad enough. And hope for reward and fear of loss are the largest motivators. Hope for reward is like 10% and 90% is fear of loss. So if suddenly you're going to want to end your life because you hate your job so much, I promise you, you're going to be motivated to get the heck out of there. Wonderful, wonderful. Conversation. Just love it. So we're going to be back with Perseverance after the break. During the break, you may have an opportunity to give us a call. 604 area code 822-2487. 604-822-2487. Enjoy this few words. We'll be back after the break with our final thoughts. See you soon.
So you want to gain the freshman 15? Well, you probably will. So why not gain it ethically? Sprouts. The student-run, not-for-profit grocery store is now open in the lower level of the UBC Student Union Building across from Travel Cuts in the Wellness Center. Sprouts is committed to providing the UBC community with healthy, locally produced, organic, and fair trade products at great prices. Sprouts will be open from 9:30 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. So you want to tag a ride on the sustainable gravy train? Sprouts is now looking for volunteers to help out with tabling, outreach, and at the storefront. So just drop by and pick up your application.
I got a dog.
You are listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver and or on the internet at www.citr.ca. Listening to Career Fast Track, a show specifically designed and tailored to help you land your dream job. And so I just want to mention that we have not had an opportunity to take your phone calls this show. We promise that in future shows we will be getting to them. Just keep it coming. Now, I know you're receiving massive value from the show, and that's wonderful. So we're going to continue on because we only have, my goodness, we have like 2 or 3 minutes left, not much. And one of the words that came up, I heard from you, it was a C word, but I heard perseverance as well in there. And so, not to beat a dead horse. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but can we give a new perspective on the word persistence, or maybe from your perspective, how do you inspire someone to be persistent? It can be a tough world out there. Any thoughts?
Depends on what. I'd say basically when you ask me that, it's a matter of people when they think of perseverance or persistence that they're worried about dealing with. I guess I shouldn't say loss or negativity or things not necessarily working out the way they think they should, right? Therefore, it's kind of a more extreme thing to persevere over things. But one thing we got to realize that things, like I said, aren't just going to come to you. And in terms of the outcome of whatever you put out there, so for example, looking for a job, interviews, there's a lot of variables out there. So just because you have certain feelings, you could go into an interview and have prepared and feeling that you've landed this job and you not get it. So therefore, does that mean you persevere through it or you get down? So yes, you persevere through it knowing that these are variables you can't control, and you got to go out there and do your thing, like with the utmost, obviously, hopeful passion and wanting to do it, and understand that things aren't necessarily going to 100% work out at the time and in the way you feel that they should. So therefore, it's a matter of keep things rational and in perspective that you got to keep moving, you got to do your thing, right? That nothing can bring you down, really, in that sense that I mean by perseverance.
Okay, so I liked how you brought in expectation with perseverance. So you're saying that if you view perseverance as you're trying to overcome an obstacle, that's a tough way to go. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, you got to view. Well, I guess that's how the impression I got from your question, right? That I guess that what kind of sentiment people get from hearing the words be persistent, persevere. Like, what does that mean? Okay, don't get down. Well, that's obvious, right? But number two is also realize that you gotta that there's many variables out there that can be thrown at you and things that you can't control. So therefore, not you shouldn't let things bring you down from your motivational levels. Which that's my definition of persistence, really.
So your definition is say it again, I like it.
My definition is really like to understand that there's things out there that you can't necessarily 100% control. And therefore, you can't let these type of things bring your motivational level and your level of passion in your diligence be compromised, basically.
Okay, I got to say that again. Don't get discouraged by things you can't control. Only get discouraged by things you can. And when you do, you'll be persistent.
You will be persistent. You will be that much more refined and experienced in your career search, right?
Okay, good. We have a minute to go, and I always end the show with a section called Truth and Nothing But the Truth. And so let's see if you're up for the challenge. I'm not going to ask you a question, though. It's an opportunity for you to share a truth that is only unique to you that you share with the audience, and it's truth and nothing but the truth. Is there anything, any truth that comes to mind that you want to share with the group?
Truth. I don't know. Elaborate a bit. Give me some...
A truth. You're now communicating to the audience, and they're a dream job seeker, and you want to tell them a truth. Like, you know, on air now, we're being relatively polite. We're being pretty honest, not bad. But this is an opportunity to be really honest, like from the gut, like really share it the way it is, you know? Like, just let it out. There's nothing to hide. Do you understand me? There's nothing to hide. We're tired of hiding. So many people hide and don't have the courage. The question is to get out. Have I inspired you enough on that one?
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm sure.
What is your truth?
Practical thing I could give truth.
I don't want practical. I want truth.
Oh, truth as in... It's a tough question. I don't know.
I love it.
Tough question.
I love it. Okay, good. Here we go. We got 20 seconds. What a truth. Share a little tidbit. If it's not a truth, share anything that comes to mind right now.
I don't know. All I can say is, to elaborate on what we've all said, is just do your thing in terms of, like, do your diligence. We've said diligence so many times, and with perseverance, persistence. But truth is, like, I've had to go through things that didn't necessarily come my way 100% the way I thought they would. So therefore, I'm telling you, you got to do your diligence, meaning prepare, do your research, get out there, learn your skill set, put things on paper, talk, speak to yourself, do everything in any which way that you need to do to learn about where you want to go and how to sell yourself. And that's what it's exactly all about. So sell yourself, practice selling yourself, and get out there. Things will work out. And if they don't, just move forward, learn from it, and then it will just keep your head up and know that it will happen with your diligence.
Wonderful words of advice. Give me a high five. Thank you very much. Okay, good. You've been listening to Career Fast Track at 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Philip DeRoche, a dynamic show designed specifically to help you land your dream job, make a ton of money, and of course, be absolutely and definitely unstoppable.
CITR podcast update number 5.
Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn.